Hey, ding-dongs, I'm Jamie.
I'm Richard.
And this is Explain It to Jamie, the political comedy podcast in which I, Jamie, a politically innocent but curious young man, have the complicated political happenings of the world explained to me by my politically savvy friend, Richard Lamb.
Politically savvy is a buzzword for member of the Illuminati, which I am.
I always struggle not to say politically slavvy.
It's similar, but very different.
But very different.
Yeah, actually, when my check from Vladimir Putin finally clears to spread his propaganda amongst the innocent and malleable brains of the West, then I truly will be politically slavvy.
Yeah, I guess, like, as it's turning out with all these like things that are coming out, the U.S. government is more politically slavvy than they would like to admit.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if the loud people on Twitter who I don't follow have anything to say about it, at least. All right, Jamie, so what is it we want to learn about this week?
We want to learn about Puerto Rico.
Hey, okay. It's not a party down there whatsoever.
No,
nobody's saying A.
No, they all want to live in America.
Yeah, they well,
sort of
kind
of
do. Yeah, it's kind of a complicated situation there with regards to America, as we're going to learn shortly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't we hop on this freighter? This freighter bearing FEMA supplies.
Stop.
Yeah. Our normally excellent flow was interrupted as we took in the, you know.
You know what it was? Is in that moment we made eye contact and it scared both of us.
Yeah, normally Jamie and I just stare at the center of each other's foreheads while we do this podcast, but we both were.
Don't look in my eyes.
I did. Okay. I'm looking at them.
I want to hear the
Save me with the theme song.
Go, theme song, go! All right.
Hey.
We're back to normal.
Okay, so Jamie, what do you know about Puerto Rico?
I know that it is, it's an island.
Yes.
They speak Spanish.
Yes.
Some of them do, I suppose. And it's where the sharks come from.
That's right.
Hence my kind of sort of thinly veiled allusion to they want to live in America. I wasn't being insensitive.
I can see what you're doing.
There's a song in West Side Story, everybody goes, I want to live in America. And that's what
No, we get it.
Listen, I'm not a racist.
No one's calling you
Why do I feel pressure? Why am I sweating? Why am I sweating?
What's funny too is that like Donald Trump is clearly a fan of Broadway musicals. Like if you go back through his tweets and stuff, like he's like, there's a tweet, like people dredge these up once in a while, but there's one that's like, American Idiot was the best musical I've ever seen. And there's another one where he talks about how great the revival of Cats is. So I wonder if part of his aversion to Puerto Rico is because he's still mad at the sharks.
Yeah.
For killing Tony and Maria.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sort of feigning. I only saw West Side Story for the first time last year.
Right.
And I felt, I don't know where this is going. I'm just talking about shit I've seen.
No.
West Side Story is great.
Yeah.
I was surprised I hadn't seen it.
It's a good musical.
Yeah. And it's not surprising that the president of the United States and the leader of the free world was affected.
No.
Very strongly.
In fact, I think it's a good thing. I think every politician should be just affected by fucking musicals from the 1950s and use those as the basis for their disaster management policy.
Sure. I bet his favorite musical is Carousel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great race politics in Carousel.
Yeah. That's the one where the guy beats up his girlfriend.
And then she's like, it's okay.
Yeah. Then he dies and everyone's like, listen, he wasn't that bad.
And she's like, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. This is good. This is good, actually. We're draining the swamp.
Yeah.
You know, one jazz hand at a time.
That's right.
No, Jamie.
No. That's not what Puerto Rico is all about. Not recently.
I mean, like, to be honest, I want to live in America is like, it could tell you a lot more about the geopolitical situation of Puerto Rico than maybe you would give it credit for. Okay. So Puerto Rico, as we all know, was recently devastated by Hurricane Maria. Maria. Which, yeah, I know, right? That's what I'm saying.
I just met a hurricane named Maria.
I mean, they certainly did. Yeah, and okay, like, you know, let's just turn the joke filter down to one for a second here.
Okay.
Hurricane Maria devastated Puerto Rico. It completely it hit at its absolute strongest point. It hit the island dead on, slicing essentially like straight through the center of the island, just devastating the country.
Mm.
It winds up to 150 kilometers, and Puerto Rico was not in great shape before the hurricane hit, and a huge hurricane hitting really did not help the situation very much at all.
Right.
Puerto Rico's been in a serious debt crisis for most of the 20th century, but now the crisis has really come to a head in the last year. And so it was already in pretty bad shape. Its power company, its main electricity company, was already really struggling and really bankrupt and not doing well with its maintenance and its finances.
Isn't that like $70 billion in debt?
That's correct.
Like that?
Yeah,
what's the population of Puerto Rico?
3.4 million.
Whoa.
So
everyone's going to get a second job.
Yeah, well, that's if there was one to do, right? So,
that's my economic
So things
strategy.
Weren't in good shape before the hurricane hit, but the hurricane has obliterated the infrastructure and the livelihood of Puerto Rico, essentially. Like, they were already really struggling to stay afloat.
Right.
And this is like, they've been kicked completely while they were down. This is like they've been stabbed while they were down. You know, they're in really rough shape right now.
Right, right. So what's... Okay, so I've heard that they're in a massive amount of debt also because, like, Trump was talking about that. Like,
yeah.
Literally while he was in the same sentences talking about the hurricane.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they've got a lot of debt. So we'll work out how we're going to handle that.
What's deeply infuriating about this is, like, poor Puerto Rico is one of the, like, most fucked over colonial possessions that I've ever even, like, learned about in my life.
Because it's not a state.
No, it's not a state. It's a territory of the United States. Now, okay, like, strap in, Jamie. We're about to go on a real ride here. Now, okay. And I also want to say, colonialism is a devastating project that has... untold amounts of wow. There's a full nun in habit walking by outside the window as I said that. That's like really creepy and unreal.
Lots of shit happens on the Dirty Duff.
On the Dirty Duff. While Jamie and I were walking to get a coffee today, we saw a woman just screaming at a car parked at a red light. You're a kidnapper.
Yeah.
You're a kidnapper.
You're a bitch. You're a kidnapper.
You're a bitch. You're a kidnapper. And then this woman who was in the front seat was like 112 years old, and she was dressed like a wealthy dowager from the late Victorian era.
She looked like she was going to Harry and Kate's wedding.
Yeah, yeah. She looked
like William and Kate's wedding.
Yeah, that's right. She looked like she was going to like the execution of Oliver Cromwell.
Yeah. Yeah, and the lady that was yelling at her was also pretty well dressed, but in a very different way.
No,
and she was like a backup dancer like from a Beyonce video.
Yeah, she had kind of like a voodoo priestess thing going on.
Yeah.
It was a very fascinating sight. Anyway, so colonialism was terrible everywhere that it happened, but poor Puerto Rico has just gotten a really bad rap. Mm. So, Puerto Rico was originally a Spanish colony. It's an island, as you said. And just as it had secured its place in the Spanish Commonwealth, which means that it finally, like through the 19th century, it kind of advocated to get like voting rights and like a seat in parliament and, you know, to basically be included instead of just being like a colony that Spain is like, no, you do this. They had like, they got the right to like make their own government, to have representation in Spain, to be kind of like Canada and Australia are for the British Empire.
Whenabouts was all this happening?
This is in the 1890s.
Not Seven Years' War. Never mind.
No.
They had no part in the Seven Years' War.
They weren't in the Seven Years' War. Yeah.
Okay.
So right in the 1890s, Puerto Rico finally gained like its kind of autonomy inside the Spanish Commonwealth, which was like a big step for them.
Mm.
Literally right after that, the Spanish-American War happened, during which the Americans showed up in Puerto Rico and were like, yo, if you guys help us fight the Spanish, we'll help set you guys up with like a great agricultural system. We'll trade with you. It's going to be awesome. They were like, that sounds like a good deal. They fought against the Spanish, and then the U.S. was like, psych!
Yeah.
guess what, motherfuckers? Like, we're going to grow sugar here now instead of all the coffee that you guys grow. So all the people who grow coffee are fucked, and we're going to grow whatever we want to grow. And they were like, that's not cool, but they couldn't really do anything because Spain gave Puerto Rico to America,
right,
as part of like the settlement after the Spanish-American War ended.
Right, right.
At this point, Puerto Rico was classified as a territory of the United States.
Right.
Now, there used to be a lot of territories in the United States. Basically, like the way it worked was as the United States expanded its territory across.
That's what Guam is, right?
Guam is a territory. The U.S. Virgin Islands is a territory. But like right. Colorado was originally a territory. It's right. like what they called it before something became a state, where the U.S. controlled the land, but it didn't yet have like self-governing statehood and wasn't a part of the union, right? Mm. Eventually,
doesn't
obviously,
get a star on the flag.
Exactly.
Right.
Eventually, Colorado became a state.
Is that why? They won't make Puerto Rico a state? It's because they're like, think of how many flags we would have to make.
That's not why.
Oh.
There was... Puerto Rico first advocated for statehood in like the early 20th century.
Right.
And there were a series of court cases fought in which it was argued that like Latinos didn't have the brains for like to be part of the state. Like they were like inherently too savage to be attributed the full benefits of statehood. This is like a real legal precedent that was set in the United States. And so
what year was this?
Like 1900, kind of like turn of the 20th century era.
Oh my God.
So they were denied statehood on the...
Happened.
Yeah, that's right. They were denied statehood because the Latinos were thought to be like genetically inferior and not able to like keep up their half of the obligation of being a state of the union.
Wow.
But wait for it.
Okay.
Then in 1917, there was this thing called the Jones-Stanforth Act, which is what made Puerto Ricans full citizens of the U.S., even though they're not a state. Do you know why they did that, Jamie?
No.
They did it so that they could draft them and use them to fight in World War I.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
You don't need brains to shoot a kraut.
No, the actual reason is that they wanted to use them to defend the Panama Canal, but they thought that the Latino people living in Puerto Rico would have immunities to diseases that the white people didn't have. Like,
oh my,
this is the reason.
Oh
this is the history
God.
Of it. It's horrible.
Wow.
So in the end, only a few, like, very few Puerto Ricans volunteered to fight in World War I, so then they drafted, like, 20,000. They drafted 20,000 Puerto Ricans and sent them to war.
They would resist that yeah. patronizing.
So they were, yeah. So they were given citizenship so that they could be used to die in wars for
sure.
America. And it's also around this time that this other thing called the Jones Act, a different thing from the Jones-Stanforth Act, was created. And this is one of the, it's an obscure American law that nonetheless affects Puerto Rico more than it affects anywhere else. And what it is this law. It was created in response to German U-boats, right? Because people were worried the German U-boats would be sinking ships in times of war, like they were in World War I a little bit, and they would much more in World War II.
Right.
So they were like, America needs to have a good shipbuilding industry so that if we go to war and our U-boats are sinking our shit, we're like ready to make more ships all the time.
Who boats?
U-boats.
No, U-boats.
And so they created this law, the Jones Act, which states that any goods delivered to an American port from another American port have to be on boats made entirely in America, owned entirely by Americans, with 100% American or like permanent resident crew.
And they have to resemble any other vowel other than U.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. No U's here. It's good that we're doing this in the sequence that we're doing it in our episodes, because this is very much related to the stuff we talked about in NAFTA and very much related to neoliberalism. So like, you know, go back and listen to those if you haven't already. But what this is it's like a form of protectionism, which is a term that we talked about during our NAFTA episode. What that means is they created like artificial barriers to keep an American industry alive and keep it from being killed by competition from outside. So in practice, what this meant is that like there always had to be American shipbuilding because only American ships were allowed to bring stuff to other ports, right? But what this meant for Puerto Rico was that the way that they like enforce the Jones Act on Puerto Rico is there's super, super high tariffs on any non-American ship that has goods that docks in Puerto Rico, right? So if you're a ship from Jamaica and you have tons of food and supplies, if you dock in Puerto Rico and try to sell things, you're going to end up paying between a 25 and 40% tariff on your goods. Like, it's going to be so much more expensive to sell your goods in Puerto Rico because of this law.
Right.
Right? The other thing you can do...
So. Okay. I'm a little bit lost.
Okay, yeah.
So there's this Jones Act.
Right.
Which means that any... So things that go from an American port...
To another.
To an American port.
They have to be... Yeah, they have to be... You have to sell... Yeah, they have to have an American boat with an American crew.
Right.
Right?
And Puerto Ricans aren't American.
They are American.
They are American.
And that's why they get fucked over.
Oh, okay.
Right? So they count as part of the Jones Act.
Okay.
So you can't have a foreign ship come dock and sell stuff, or else they have to pay all the tariffs.
Right.
There's still tariffs.
I see. So Puerto Rico is beholden to the United States.
That's correct.
So they're kind of, yeah, trapped. You can so trade with us, but if you trade with someone else, you're going to be paying huge amounts.
That's
of
correct.
Money. Okay.
And so the other thing that the boat can do to avoid paying the tariffs is... dock in Florida and then have a Florida boat take this stuff to Puerto Rico, even though they passed Puerto Rico on the way from Jamaica to Puerto Rico.
Right.
But the thing is, the American boat with the American crew is super expensive because the American shipbuilding industry is protected by the Jones Act and it has like no competition inside it whatsoever. So
right.
All the prices are really artificially high.
Right. Was this act made specifically for Puerto Rico, or is it just happened to affect Puerto Rico?
No, it was originally made to preserve the American shipbuilding industry in the event of a world war. Mm. But now that reason is like not really a thing anymore.
Okay.
So it just happens to fuck Puerto Rico over. And the result of this is that even though Puerto Ricans make literally half as much as people in the poorest state in America, which is Missouri.
To be fair, Richard, their brains are
the court said so. So even though the average Puerto Rican wage is $14,000 a year, the average wage, which is literally, like I said, half that in the poorest state in America,
right.
The cost of living is actually like 20% higher than in most of America. Because...
Whoa.
They import like 85% of their food. They basically get everything that they need from the United States.
It's kind of like the Northwest Territories and Nunavut here.
Yeah, that's right.
Where it's so expensive.
They're just forced to bring shit in. Yes, that's correct.
That it's like it's really prohibitive to live there because unless you have some sort of cultural association with the land or the place, because everything's a can of beans is $5.
That's right.
And. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, none of it in Northwest Territories can't just, like, go trading with Iceland.
Yeah.
You know?
That's 100% correct.
Right.
And so the cost of bringing everything in is so expensive because you either have to pay a huge fucking tariff on it or you have to pay for this super expensive American boat.
Right.
Right? And so because of that, Puerto Rico has needed a lot of money to just buy the stuff they need to live.
So they've been borrowing money.
Right. And so, and not just that, but Puerto Rican bonds... So bonds. You know what government bond is?
James Bond.
Yeah, that's right. And Puerto Rican bonds, if they didn't have those inferior brains, would be very good. No. So when you buy a bond from the government, what you're doing is you're loaning the government money.
I had a bond once.
Yeah?
I think I cashed it in.
Yeah. Well, they mature, right? Like.
Yeah, I think my grandpa bought it for me when I was born, and like it goes up by a certain amount every 10 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Or something
like so you lend the government, say, like, $1,000. You pay $1,000 for the bond and it has like a 5% interest rate. So every year you make $50 until after 10 years or whatever, the government pays it back to you and you made $1,500 in total, right? Like that's how a bond works. So you lend the government money, the government spends that money on paving roads or whatever in the short term, and then in the long term they pay you back more.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, like a bank.
Yeah. So Puerto Rican bonds... Puerto Rico basically financed its entire economy with bonds. It had to keep borrowing money from people, promising to pay them back. And Puerto Rican bonds were a really, really, really popular commodity because even though Puerto Rico's economy was struggling more and more as the years of bringing shit in under the Jones Act that was super expensive went on, the thing is, interest, this is like some technical stuff about the United States, interest on a government bond is not taxable. So unlike other stuff. So people would...
So like a billionaire could be like,
exactly,
I'm going to buy $2 billion worth of bonds,
yeah,
knowing that I'm going to make $1 million 10 years from now or whatever, and that...
And you'll make it tax free,
and that $500 million is non-tax.
Maybe it's just, you know what? I'm lying. It's not even all government bonds. It was like just Puerto Rican bonds. It was not taxable in many states.
Yeah, and didn't they make it like, because they I think Puerto Rico is like addicted to these bonds.
That's
right.
Well, because that's by addicted to those bonds. What it just means is they weren't they can't produce enough in their economy to buy all the stuff, the super artificially expensive stuff they need from America. So they have to borrow in order to keep their economy going. Sure. That's true. Yes. The other thing is, until very recently, states and territories could not go bankrupt. Right, they couldn't declare bankruptcy. The government would bail them out. So if you're lending to Puerto Rico, you know they're never going to default on their bond because they're backed by the United States government. So even if their economy goes to fucking shit, the U.S. will make your interest payments and your.
So it's a perfect investment.
Until in 2016. The U.S. government changed the regulation to allow territories to go bankrupt. God, and kaboom!
Damn it.
Yes.
And then Puerto Rico is in some real
And that's why
shit.
Puerto Rico has been in a debt crisis, because Puerto Rico was basically forced to default on all of its debts.
Right.
They changed the law so that Puerto Rico would be, basically tell all the people who had lent it money, you're going to have to absorb a loss. We're not going to pay you back.
Right.
And that's what's prompted this debt crisis. And in response to now, their kind of whole economy is like being managed by the federal government.
Right, right.
So
now I imagine that all these private investors took that really well and started treating Puerto Rico very fairly after that.
Yeah, I mean, now they have control the government has control of the economy, but basically it looks like they're going to try to force austerity, right? They're going to force them to cut public spending, cut their social services, right? That's like the playbook, the Washington consensus for trying to manage a debt crisis. The problem is, it's now understood. That's the neoliberal, that's the playbook. We know doesn't work because taking money away from people, doing austerity in a time of financial crisis is kind of like depriving a flame of oxygen. Like it just sucks the oxygen out of the economy, so actually nothing can happen.
Right.
And it drives you further into recession. And that's in a functioning economy. In an economy that just got fucking devastated by a hurricane, where nobody's working, no taxes are coming in at all because nobody's working, and there's still no power, and there's like 30% of the power has been turned back on.
Right.
There's no chance austerity is good. And like people don't even have basic services. Like austerity is not going to be popular.
Right, but they got paper towels.
Yeah, that's right. And Skittles. Did you see that?
No.
Okay, oh man, we'll get into that. So that, and like, you know, Puerto Rico has comparatively small agriculture. It's like 1.5% or something of its economy. But 95% of the crops in Puerto Rico were completely destroyed by the hurricane. So there's no food on the island at all.
Yeah, there are people might as well be...
honk if you hate austerity.
They saw our sign in my window. There's just a bunch of people sitting on a rock and the lights are off. They need help.
And like, this is like the funny thing is like, you see, I once went on to R the Donald, the Donald Trump subreddit on Reddit, to like look at what they were saying about Puerto Rico, which was obviously such a fucking disaster.
Sure.
And they loved this, like they had all these stats about like, well, you know, people, the libs keep saying that, you know, Donald Trump isn't doing anything, but you know, FEMA's already deployed 2 million meals in Puerto Rico. It's like Puerto Rico has 3.4 million people. They need to eat 10 million meals a day.
Yeah.
Like 2 million meals is not, those people are starving to death. That's like that's the sound of literally 1.5 million people starving.
Yeah, yeah.
Like just do some fucking math, guys. Like,
oh my God.
So it's bad. Also, I don't know if there's this pretty infamous picture of what a FEMA emergency meal looked like, which was a Nutri-Grain bar, a small tin of Vienna sausages and a pack of Skittles. Like, that's a meal.
Right.
For a family. Like, a family is sometimes, it's like a meal per family sometimes.
Wow.
So it's like, there's not, it's not a good situation. Now, supplies have been trickling in.
Also, okay, to be fair, Marshawn Lynch, running back for the Oakland Raiders, eats Skittles on the sideline, and he's incredible.
He did the Beast Quake,
he's,
man.
He's not having a great season, but
no, yeah, but he like he's gonna be famous forever because of the Beast Quake. You know that
was Beast.
That was his like huge moment. It was like this
Beast Mode.
No, no, it was this thing. It was called the Beast Quake.
I don't know.
When he was playing for Seattle,
yeah,
he did this insane running play where he basically ran the entire length of the field
and
for a touchdown.
Threw a guy down
for a touchdown. And he like evaded the entire, we should watch it after, actually. It's so good.
Oh,
he
evades, I've seen it.
Yeah, and but the thing is, the cheer after that play registered.
Oh, he jumped on his back.
No, no, yeah, but the cheer from the crowd after that play registered on the earthquake scale.
Oh,
that's why they call it the Beast Quake.
Because
it was like everyone lost their minds.
Oh, yeah. I love Marshawn Lynch.
He's fucking awesome.
Yeah, man. I bet he'd have, I mean, yeah.
If he was on the ground in Puerto Rico, yeah, he'd fucking have that shit cleared in no time
I
at all.
So, I think his organization does a lot of stuff for Compton.
Yeah.
Marshawn, shout out.
Marshawn.
If you want to be on
you
want to
come on the show, Marshawn?
Oh my God. I would die.
Yeah.
I'm the biggest Marshawn Lynch fan.
He's cool. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
No, but there's a lot of horrible
stuff. Seriously, though, hashtag Marshawn Lynch. Yeah.
I'm
on the show. Definitely tweeting at you.
Come on the show, Marshawn. But there's a lot of bad things happening with the response to Puerto Rico. Like, for example, the Jones Act is still in effect. So you can't bring in relief unless it's on an American boat with an American crew.
Oh,
Donald Trump,
fuck off.
Donald Trump waived it. They waive the Jones Act for disasters almost always. Like, they waived it for Hurricanes Harvey and Irma, which landed in like Texas and Florida, so that non-American boats can dock in those ports and give them supplies. And they waived it for a week in Puerto Rico, but it expired and they never renewed the waiver. So now it's still in effect right now. You have to, so Puerto Ricans, even if supplies are reaching them, have to pay the huge tariff or send the supplies to Florida and send them back on an American boat, right? Ugh. It's like fucking strangling. They're strangling them to death.
Yeah.
And it's American business interests that are doing it.
Have you heard about this? Like, what's it? I don't know. There's some higher up politician in the White House who has connections to a construction company, and like that construction company happened to be the one chosen to go like help fix up Puerto Rico or whatever, and I think the mayor or the governor of Puerto Rico was sort of speaking out, being like, this isn't what we need this, and
right.
And the company itself tweeted at the mayor or governor saying, we've got 2,000 workers on a boat on our way, should we send it back, you know,
yeah,
or whatever. I don't know. This is like a very...
Yeah, I think that guy's name is Darth Vader.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's like fucking Secretary of the Interior or some shit. No. And the poor mayor, the mayor of San Juan, which is like the biggest city in Puerto Rico, and like most of the people in Puerto Rico live there.
Mm.
She's been the face of kind of the people on the ground in Puerto Rico, and she's apparently just been working tirelessly to both keep Puerto Rico in the public's eye and try to provide leadership in like this insane time of crisis for them.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. Carmen Cruz.
Yeah, she's running only on Skittles right now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Ugh, poor woman.
The jeepers creepers. Yeah. Okay, so they've been smashed by this hurricane. So like, it's not even, and this is like a crude old-timey term, like it used to be like I think in the 80s that if you started like a nightclub, because the nightclub industry is so like up and down, because your nightclub is hot for like 3 months, right?
Right.
And then you, as soon as it's hot, you start taking on partners to try and get out of it. Because it's going to crash.
Right.
And then you go start a new one because, you know, that's
how
nightclubs
works.
Are. And there's this old timey term from that. It's like Jewish lightning, where you just set your nightclub on fire and then collect on the insurance and start over. Let's forget that I said Jewish lightning, but like, is there any, like, there's no relief based on that hurricane, right? Like, it's not like the U.S. government is about to say, don't worry about it.
Well, no, that's not true.
Right.
The U.S. government literally just approved like a $34 billion aid package for Puerto Rico. And
it's pretty good.
It is pretty good. And they're offering them also like a 90% to 10% cost sharing plan for redevelopment, which is also pretty good. Although Puerto Rico might not even be able to pay its 10%. And so they're giving them a loan to try so that they can do upfront costs, so they can pay for their part upfront and then repay it to the federal government, which is good. The main problem is the Jones Act is still in effect. So this $34 billion, a huge amount of it is going to get used paying these American shipping companies in their tariffs. Monopoly.
Right, exactly.
So like it's the economy is set up to be super inefficient and for America to suck money out of Puerto Rico by forcing them to pay Americans extra in a super non-competitive protected industry.
So how hard is it? Because it seems So how are there's probably no incentive for Donald Trump to lift the Jones Act?
No, because if you, when he's
it's good for the like technically good for the American economy.
Well, and his fucking quote on it is like, you know, the shipbuilders tell me it's a very good act.
Yeah,
that's what he said.
Right.
It's like I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, like, it would be great for me if you let me use your credit card for an afternoon. But, you know, are you going to fucking listen to me?
No.
Yeah, right?
No, because you've had a critical podcast about him.
No, it's true. Although, I bet if we started saying nice things about him, I bet he'd be nice to... I bet he'd like us. Because I think it's that easy. I think as long as you... If you said... The most recent thing you said about him was a nice thing, I think he'll flip 100%. He's like a toddler.
We should do... Okay, well, you know what? Like, this is a good time as any. Let all the listeners out there know this is our last episode of the season. We're going to be taking a break after this one.
We're both really busy for the next couple of weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, we're like, this is a good time to reassess, reevaluate. we're gonna be coming to you guys with questions and feedback and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But also, just for next season, it might be interesting to do like an episode that is tailored in the opposite. A right wing slant, like a weird, like
a bizarro,
like a bizarro episode.
Okay,
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like, you know, how old school Stephen Colbert-y, you know, like that kind of
thing. Right, right.
I mean, we already kind of have like
maybe we'll do a bonus episode,
ironic
series.
Satire. Thing going
we'll
on,
do a bonus episode that's like bizarro. Explain it to Jamie. where you and I rail about how there's too much environmental regulations and talk about how like the wily Latinos are stealing all of our jobs or whatever.
Oh, wily, come on, Richard. We both know that they're subhuman or whatever.
Actually, there's a really good this week's Chapo Trap House is really interesting because they talk about how there's like this hysteria that the like in right wing America right now, there's this hysteria that tomorrow, Saturday, November 4th, Antifa are gonna start like a civil war against the United States government.
Oh yeah.
And this is a really interesting psychological thing where like the conservatives have to believe simultaneously that, or like in any situation where you're like vilifying a population of people as like a scapegoat for everything that you think is wrong with the world, you have to simultaneously believe that they're incredibly weak and pathetic, but also incredibly strong and terrifying. Like you have to take both those things into account. They have to exist simultaneously in your mind in order for you to have like the reactions to them that you have.
Right.
Because it's like all these conservative dudes are like, oh, Antifa, like bring it on, you pussies, we're going to kill you all. But it's like, well, if they're so wussy, then why are you afraid of them?
Right.
But then they're like also terrified that like, you know.
Right, right.
They're going to behead white Christians. Antifa are going to behead white Christians. Like Antifa, in my experience with them, I know quite a few of them, are mostly just like people who love social justice and hate bigotry. Like they don't give a fuck about what you do in your private life. They just don't want you oppressing people in the public sphere. Yeah.
Go check out Chapo Trap House.
They don't need our help.
It's one of Richard's favorite podcasts.
It's like the only podcast I listen to. That's not true. I listen to a lot of podcasts.
I tried to get into it. It wasn't for me.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Jones Act has to go if Puerto Rico's ever going to be rebuilt. It's going to be...
We should get rid of Alex Jones while we're at it.
Yeah, that's right.
Put them both on a boat.
Yeah, just put them on an American-made boat, drive it into the fucking garbage island in the Atlantic Ocean and leave it there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a nightmare to rebuild Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico, like, in the first place, its infrastructure is a nightmare because it's an island, A, so everything has to be brought in on a boat. And B, it's super mountainous. So it's like really hard territory to build on. In fact, like some of it's like in some regions, every individual power pole has to be placed by a helicopter. Like that's how resource intensive it was in the first place to build Puerto Rico's power infrastructure. So like their power company is fucking bankrupt as hell. They don't have the money to helicopter in power poles, right?
Right.
And the roads are still blocked. The power's off, which means that like people don't have air conditioning. This is a tropical climate. It's hot.
Right.
No one has air conditioning. The water pumps in the water system aren't working, so people don't have plumbing or running water. You know,
this seems like a good opportunity for Google.
Have you
heard about this Google neighborhood?
People are wondering about if some private company is just going to go in and build everything up. People also, you know, it is a unique opportunity to rebuild Puerto Rico with a completely modernized power grid that is like all solar.
Well, it's like that. It's like that. Have you heard of that South Korean city that's been built in like the last 20 years or something?
No.
Like it's been built. The entire thing has been from the ground up built in 20 years, and it's all been made to be internet compatible, and you know, everything is under security cameras, so like you give up a lot of fucking privacy. There's other issues that are interesting and like kind of troubling and a bit 1984-y, but the whole city was built completely online. Everything is it's because it was all built in the last 20 years. The infrastructure is like incredibly modern. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this could be like were we able to get rid of that fucking Jones thing, opportunity to make Puerto Rico bigger and better than ever.
Yeah, I think so for sure. I definitely don't want like some corporation to just own Puerto Rico, basically. Like, I think that would be a bad idea.
Sure.
But it's an interesting opportunity to possibly build an entire functioning contained society on an island that does have a modern power grid, that does have 100% renewable energy. Like, I think that there's a challenge there that's interesting to people. Right now, we're not at that point in the conversation yet, but it is a good way to do it. I mean, it also could solve some of Puerto Rico's other social problems. Like, Puerto Rico has a huge drain of young people, and especially trained young people like doctors and engineers and scientists and stuff, because nobody makes any fucking money on Puerto Rico, and the cost of living is really high, and they're all technically U.S. citizens, so they can just go to America with no passport and work legally. So, like, they lose tons of their... They have basically an entire missing generation of brain-drained people who went to the United States, and a lot of the people who are left now are old and retired. So Puerto Rico also has a huge expense every year just paying people pensions, like a big expense. So, I don't know. It could keep a lot... If the Jones Act was repealed, they'd finally be able to maybe start reducing the cost of living there.
Right.
And B, they could start engaging in these kind of interesting infrastructure projects. Now they'd
And what if another fucking hurricane happens?
I mean, let's be real. Climate change isn't getting better.
Yeah.
Extreme weather events are going to become more common it gets hotter.
Like that. Have you seen the new Blade Runner movie?
No.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
But there's this... It's really nice because in every shot, there's like a little puzzle to do, like there's just like a little bit of expansion in the world,
right?
Where you just like look at this frame and you go, oh, I guess this must be true in this world.
Interesting.
And like one of the things is he's flying over the city and you just see this wall on the ocean. You're like, oh, the wall, like global warming continued and they had to build this immense metal wall to like
keep the tide out.
Yeah. What if we did that at Puerto Rico?
Yeah, I think they'd love that.
Like 100K out.
Let's just build like fucking wall. Let's just encase the whole thing in a huge dome.
Yeah. Maybe if you pitch that to Donald Trump, he'd be into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's wall crazy.
That guy loves walls.
Dude loves walls.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it.
Okay.
That's the sitch.
It's a big old mess.
It's a huge fucking mess. They were fucked. Like, they've been fucked since they exist, since the beginning of time.
Right.
And they continue to be fucked to this day. They're such a... They've been so bleakly affected by colonialism, you know, like it's just colonialism. That's what it is there.
I mean, oh my God. I mean, yeah. I mean, in many ways, very similar to a West Side Story. One may think, you know, Tony would have been a lot better had he never met Maria. But at the same time, he needed to meet.
And Puerto Rico did teach America how to love.
Yeah. It surely did.
Yeah.
Surely did. And how to dance fight.
Yeah.
The original dance fight. Okay,
well, if you like this episode, please do share our podcast with your friends, your family. Like we said, we're taking a break after this. This is the end of season one of Explain It to Jamie. We're super busy in November and December, both of us.
Yeah.
But we're going to come back with a vengeance in the new year and with a lot of
bigger and
new
better
stuff
than ever.
Yeah.
In the meantime, as Richard said, please share your favorite episode. If this is your favorite episode, Share it. If you go take a wander through our other episodes. There's lots of awesome stuff, and I think most of them are pretty like they hold up as far as like great. Info goes.
They're all great.
There's only a couple that are like sort of topical for the time.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, go through, find your favorite episode, share it. That does us a lot of good. Give us a rating on iTunes and a review on iTunes. Also, in the meantime, write in. I read everything.
Yeah, we read everything people comment to us.
Yeah, write in. Give us feedback. Give us suggestions for topics. And this was a really fun.
It's been a real hoot.
A fun year. And we'll get back in January and start railing into the void.
Hell yeah.
Once more.
Oh, yeah, we'll be back. Don't worry about us. Until next time, I'm Richard.
I'm Jamie. This has been Explain It to Jamie, Season 1.
Woo!